Well, as you may have remember from last week, I was talking about gifts that our God is giving to us this Advent season. Last week, we talked about a comforter, that God gives us the comforter of our Lord Jesus himself, who comes to forgive our sins and to comfort us as we travel through this journey that similar to what the Israelites did on our way to the promised land that we have waiting for us because of the grace of our God. Today, we hear about another gift, I believe, that is given to us from our Lord. It starts in the books of Samuel. There we read about the life of David, who's the shepherd. In those books, we hear about how David is chosen by God, how he's anointed. He's the seventh son of Jesse. He's the youngest, and he's supposed to be the one who's going to be king. Those are the people that you didn't really expect to be king. He's usually the firstborn, at the very least. Not the last one in the bunch, not the runt of the litter, as you might say. And so David is chosen by God to eventually be the king of Israel. Then he goes and he slays Goliath with a slingshot in front of the whole army of Israel. He's the only one with the courage because he knows that God is with him. And then he's the young man who, as the king-to-be, the heir to the throne, Saul, the king who's already king in Israel, is trying to kill him. A number of times this happens. And then eventually, when Saul does die in battle, David is eventually anointed king of all Israel. You can see in these books that the Lord has done a lot of great things for David. The Lord chose David from all the people of Israel to be the very king of his nation. And God gave him a lot of great gifts. Besides all the things that he did that we mentioned, he made him very wealthy, very powerful. He was the most powerful king in that era, in that place. The kingdom of Israel was the largest at that time. They were the most wealthy nation at that time. He gave him victory over all of his enemies. He subdued enemies. He had people giving him tribute. And for 30, 40 years, he was the king in that land. He had brought Israel to safety and security. It was a good time. Well, David also, at that point, built himself a house. He says, well, I built myself a house of cedar, a nice fancy house there in Jerusalem. It was his palace, you might say. And I can understand now that of all of this stuff that's gone on in his life, now that he's got himself settled, now the land is fairly safe and secure. There's no real battles going on anymore. He's got himself the nicest house on the block. Now he says, maybe we should do something for God too. And so that's what he wants to do. He wants to build now a house for the Lord. He wants to build him a house of cedar and stone and gold and whatever else he needs to do this. Because he knows that, well, where's God been living all these days? Well, he's been living on top of a box. It was the box, the Ark of the Covenant. It's really just a box with gold leaf on it and a couple of cherubims sitting on top. And that was sitting in a tent, which was in a tent, which was in a tent. And that's what was traveling with the Israelites from the days of Moses up until the days of David. So here is God, the creator of the universe, living in a tent on a box. And David says, we got to fix this. We got to make it better. So David desires to build a house. And that's what he wants to do. I can appreciate David wanting to do that. I think I really can. Because here is a man who has had God on his who's treated a man so well and has so much in his life, he wants to really do something fabulous for his God as a thankfulness for him. Because, you know, a tent just isn't splendid enough for the creator of the whole universe. And then you can imagine David comparing his house to the tent. And I don't know, after 400 years, I don't know how well maintained that tent would have been, but I'm sure there would have been some, knowing human, how we take care of things, it was probably starting to be a little tattered on the sides. And maybe even out of thankfulness and praise, but maybe even a twinge of guilt, David wants to build this new building, this new place for God. Well, tonight we've got a gift, I guess. I'd like to open now. A little heavier than last week. But in a sense, I think this is something that we believe that God has promised to give to us. Because we're sitting in one right now. It's a house. We call this what? The house of God all the time, right? We generally call this, this is where God lives. You know something? God even says later in the Old Testament, he says, I don't live in one of these. In the book of Ezekiel, you even hear Ezekiel telling us how God got up and left. He wasn't going to be penned up in a house. Because that's not where God wants to be, in a place like this. We think this is something that we often offer God sometimes too. Like David. He wanted to offer God something of himself, you might say, back to the Lord. I want to build God a magnificent home. And there's a lot of magnificent homes for God around the country. I've seen a number of them. I've stood in some of them. I've preached in some of them. And we always think we're doing this for the Lord. I don't think the Lord is necessarily looking for us to do something like this for him. Because this is what he says to David. He says, I've been perfectly happy living in this tent. When have I ever asked in all these 400 years to build me a house of cedar, he says to David. I've never asked. I'm content living in the tent. What he does say, though, to David, I don't want a house, but I want to tell you what I've done for you already. You see, we have this tendency to want to do something for God when what is it that we really can do for him? He's God Almighty. He's created it all. It's all his to begin with. What can we actually give back to him? God wants us to understand, first and foremost, it isn't what we give to him that matters. It's what he's giving to us. That's what Advent season is about, preparing us to receive the best and greatest gift that he can give to us, which is himself. He reminded David. He said, I will, where is it here? For all the time I've, when your days are fulfilled, you, no, wrong spot. Basically, he told him, I've taken care of you all your life. I've given you victory over your enemies. I've given you wealth. I've given you wives, the concubines, all these things that you have. I've given them all to you. And then he says, I'm going to give you one more thing. I'm going to build a house for you. And I imagine when David first heard this, he was probably scratching his head. Well, I got a house. What do you mean? Build me a house. He said, I'm going to build you a house. And it's going to last forever. And guess what? This house isn't going to be made out of stone or marble or cedar or any type of natural product that you can build, say, like a building like this. Instead, I'm building it out of your own body. It's coming from there. That's what you're going to have as a house one day. It's coming from your own body. He wanted to let him know that that's what's most important for him. Lord has reminded us of what he wants to give to us too, because we are the ones who are in need of the house. We are the ones who have been promised a house. Well, what is this house? When we come to this place, this is one thing that we think of. We come here, the house that was promised to us, it could be this, but probably not. We do come here, though, and we enjoy being here. We should come here and rejoice when we have a place like this to come to. Because what do here? We come, and we do offer God some things, but what is it we offer him? Our prayers, because we're in need. Our sins, that we offer it to him so he can return to us something else, his forgiveness. We offer him our tithes and our thank offerings so that it can support the ministry. But other than that, what else can we really give to the Lord? It's what he wants to give to us that matters. The Lord tells David that he's going to build him a house. And how is this house to be built? Well, I think the better gift, if I can get it out of here, is this. It's a picture. It's not the gift that I'm talking about. It's the one that's in the picture. It's a picture of Jesus. Because that's the actual house that that God is talking about. The house is going to be made out of this stuff right here. Out of cells and blood and nerves and muscle and skin. This new house that the Lord is going to make is the body of Jesus. And remember, even Jesus tells us that the temple that the disciples and everybody is worried about, it's not that building over there made of rocks and stone and cedar. I'm talking about the temple of his body. Because that's where God resides now. He doesn't reside and live in this place as if this is his home and he can't go anywhere else. He actually lives in a flesh and blood, heart-pumping, lung-breathing, mind-thinking body just like yours. He came to be the house that we really needed. The house that offers for you and for me salvation. The Father would be the heaven, would be the Heavenly Father would be his Father. Mary would conceive and bear a child, as we sang in the hymn just recently. The second person of the Trinity, Jesus is going to put on the same frail tent that we wear. And in a sense, that's what this is. It's a covering, like a tent. And we know what it's like to live in this. And so does Jesus. He knows exactly what it's like to live the life that you are going through. He understands all that you've going through. He understands what it's like to be a human being walking around in the dust of the earth, sometimes hungry, sometimes thirsty, sometimes sad, sometimes joyful, and sometimes facing death front on. Another thing about the tent that he lives in, this stuff, it's mobile. When God went with the Israelites, he was able to go with them on that journey. He went with them from Egypt to the promised land. He went with them. He lived with them. And this body is mobile. A building is immobile. It can't go anywhere. God would not be penned up in the temple in Jerusalem. But he would go and walk with his disciples. He would go and walk with the newly believing people. And he still goes and walks with us to this day. One of the things we sometimes forget is that the Lord Jesus is here right now. We may not see him, but he's here. If you don't understand it, if you don't think that, you're missing out on one of the greatest joys of being a Christian that there is. God is with you. In Christmas time, we talk about Emmanuel, God with us. That's exactly what he's saying. It's a flesh and blood God who's with us now. And the promise is to stay with you and not walk away from you. We live in this human tent with all its weaknesses. Even despite the best of our health, despite our age or how much we exercise, we understand the weaknesses of this body, of this tent. Oftentimes it gets tattered and torn. And Jesus understands that too. He came in a human flesh in the tent of our skin to take our place from conception to death, to take our place all the way through it, because somebody had to do that. We couldn't take and do what God demanded of us, so God demands it of himself. He puts himself into our human flesh and walks with us. He tabernacles with us, is a way they call it in the Bible. He did all this so that he could do what we needed the most. His sacrifice that he offered for us was in this tent. He offered his life. He bled and suffered and covered our sins with his blood. He died in this tent, and he rose in this tent. He did this so that he can save not just our soul, but he did it so they can save our own bodies, our own tents that we live in. Because you see, when Jesus suffered and died, he suffered and died to save all of us. And I don't mean all of us, I mean all of us. Body, mind, and soul. There's just too many people out here to think the body is not that important. We're just going to be heavenly beings floating around somewhere. No, that's not what Jesus did. He rose bodily. He defeated death and the grave. And he saves not just our soul, but our bodies too. That's why he walked in the tent. That's why he became human flesh, to save you. Your life and your body will also be restored, and it will live eternally. That's the gift that you receive from the Lord. You have nothing to do but believe it. Because God, as he told David, I've done everything for you already. I've even put myself into the tent, into the house that I promised to make, so that all can be made possible for you. God has built a house already. He's built it in Jesus, so that Jesus can come and save you. That's the gift that we receive this Advent season. That's the gift we receive each and every Sunday, every day of the year, because that's what our Lord wants for you. His body, his son, his home is for you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.